Welcome back, everyone. This is The Chain Show with your host, Simon Phillips, and my special guest today, the founder, or the co-founder, indeed, of the Centre for a Loving Workplace, Lily Boyanova-Hugh. Welcome, Lily. How are you?
Hi, Simon. I'm great. So glad to be here.
Excellent. So, Lily, tell the audience a little bit about yourself. What are you all about? What do you do? Where did you come from? What are you up to?
That's a big question for a few minutes. But my name is Lily Boyanova-Hugh. I was born and raised in Bulgaria, actually, in the 80s in Bulgaria, just around the time when freedom was a big thing, actually, in the 80s, when the communistic wall was kind of falling and people were seeking change. And so that's where I was born and raised. And in 2007, after many years of my dad coaching me that I'm a citizen of the world, I decided to travel and I found my way to the UK. So since then, I've been living in the south of England, in Hampshire. And so I live here near a place called Winchester with my son, stepdaughter, and my husband. So that's where I come from. That's where I am right now.
Excellent. And I understand your sister's also in the UK.
My sister followed me quite closely behind, a couple of years behind. She decided to come and pursue her legal career in the UK as well, as she now lives in London.
Yeah, wonderful. So what is it you love most about the UK then?
The thing that I really was inspired by when I changed it, it seemed like people were more risk able somehow. When I changed, the one thing that I noticed is because of the standard of life and all of the social systems around the people in the UK, that when I came as a young person, I noticed that people would just willingly take a lot more risks than what I was used to back home. People back home, security and safety was a big thing. Yeah. And so people would be like a lot more risk averse. And that's, as a young person, as someone that was really thinking creatively about the world and my career, I really appreciated that. And it's kind of the kind of thing that kept me here, kept me changing and doing all the things that I want to do with that attitude.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what is it that you've done? What's that career path look like?
So I found myself going for a very mainstream business degree initially, and then found myself in marketing. I was working first, my first gig was with Hewlett Packard as an assistant marketing manager, later in their enterprise department. So that's when I kind of learned a little bit about scale. What does marketing and sales look at scale? And during my time at HP, there was also a big boom on technology at the time, kind of adopting new technology to help organizations scale. So my beginning of my journey was that hybrid version of kind of sales marketing, but more around the tech, martech space as we know it. And that's how I started. And then it was quite a few years into that I realized that the bit that I was actually working on wasn't just the marketing, the technical aspect, but I was actually working with people who were changing the way they were thinking, the way they were using certain technology, and the way they were working as a team. And so I found myself kind of moving more towards the change management space and actually more of the people aspect of an enterprise.
Okay. So where were you in that process when you and I met? Because you were on this amazing campaign, weren't you, to talk to, was it 100 people in 50 days or something like that? I can't remember how many people you were meeting.
Yeah, exactly that. So I found myself becoming a parent in 2016. That's when kind of it was a catalyst for my shift, coming with my first child. He's now 7. It was a bit of an identity crisis for me, a bit of a kind of grappling with, I've been on this career path and done well, and now I have to also be a parent. And the period between 2016 2019 was challenging in that respect, sort of adopting the identity of a carer and a parent and a mother, as well as continuing with my work in the workplace. And I found myself really struggling to make it work in terms of dividing my attention, dividing my time, and kind of making things fit. And so it took me a few years, but in 2019, I was really clear that I needed to sort of take more risks, actually, I've just opened with, and go on a bit of a non-traditional route, if you like. So I wanted to set up on my own or set up outside of a standard corporate life, and I didn't know how to do it. And I'm sure many of us that are listening to this have know the benefit of networking and have done networking. And so one of the things that I really knew is I can't have any of the answers on my own. So the thing to do would be to seek out other people and meet more people and find a way to change that way. So it was December 2019, just before the pandemic, that I was watching some TED Talks, and there is a book, Never Eat Alone. There's another book, 100 Lunches with Strangers. And it really talks about that intensity of creating something new and changing the direction of your life and work by actually talking to other people. So we met in 2020, Simon, and you were maybe one of the 100 people I was set out to meet with in 1 year. I think it was about 16, 17, I met in person and had lunch. And then 2020 March pandemic happened, and I was then doing it all online. And that's how I met Renee Smith, who then I started to work closely with, and with whom I co-founded the Center for a Loving Workplace a few years after that.
Yeah, wonderful. And, you know, I was absolutely hugely impressed with that as an activity. Lots of people will have read those books, but not actually done it. So to meet somebody that was putting it into action and reaping the rewards was fantastic. As a huge advocate of networking, I could see that it was going to work for you. And,
appreciate that.
The rest is history, as they say, in terms of the relationships that you've formed through that process. So brilliant. So tell us the story then. How did you go from, you know, marketing, raising a family, thinking about growing your network? How did that lead you into this particular field? Because it's maybe you can describe a little bit about the center as well in that process, but you know, it's a little bit of a leap, if you like, in terms of content. So tell us a bit about that story.
Yeah, I think that the shift really was this what I've just named, this attitude that I think as we traditionally move through a career path, we are coached to seek expertise and build on expertise and become knowers and know a lot. Yeah. And it's almost that I had to, the first step was for me to uncoach myself to become a seeker and someone that doesn't know. And I think one of the key shifts within myself, all change starts from within, I think, but what I experienced within myself was that there is an aspect of humility and just even magic that really happens when we admit that we don't know and we actually seek help and we ask questions rather than be focused on giving answers. And that is, I think that is a leadership journey and a personal journey that I was on. And it was very much, I think, also infused by my experience as a mother, because really none of us receive a manual with how to raise our children. Exactly. And I was going also through a personal challenge there, because I was going through a divorce with the father of my son. So I was also doing it on my own. So solo parenting during that time made me even more humble in terms of how much I was able to share and to know how to do. And then the thing that shifts as well is this understanding that as adults, so we go through this kind of life journey, right? And if we are part of, let's say we are part of a university, we're students, or we're part of a workplace, there is just these categories, these communities that we become part of throughout our life. And those mainly are the ways that we meet new people.
Yeah.
But at some point, we then become one of many, and we don't necessarily associate with a specific group. So it's not until you start seeking actively, meeting other people, meeting diverse people, that new people come and flow into your life. Mm. So those are some of the kind of things that were happening to me personally and within to make the shift. And then what I was also noticing at the same time pandemic was happening, I was noticing that I'm actually not on my own in that journey, that many people are grappling with this very traditional way of leading, traditional way of thinking about their work. And it was just interesting to be part of that conversation of like, what would the workplace look like right now? Mm-hmm. So as I said, I met Renee and started working with her on some key projects around creating and shifting a culture or workplace environment in organization. And one of the things that I discovered in that work was how important, again, that sense of community is.
Yeah.
The sense of doing it not alone, like we've been coached from the industrial age of kind of the leaders are always on their own in solitude and finding out all the things on their own, but actually inviting others and empowering others, embracing others as part of that journey. So the community, the Center for a Loving Workplace, was already, the seeds of that had started in Seattle, in Renee's location with her gatherings and her methodology and the research that she's done around love and fear in the workplace. And she was attracting specific kind of people that were seeking that transformation. Mm. So I happened to be one of those people that joined her on that journey, but then also I started to invite and look locally here in the UK, others that might be interested in becoming advocates and change advocates and just challenge some of the things that we think we know from the way that we work and the way that we live.
Yeah, no, and it's, I mean, as you know, you and I've been on that journey now for a few years, haven't we? So, and every time we get a new group of people together or we meet somebody new, the message still has a massive impact. And that's still amazing to me because it just illustrates just how powerful this message is. Because at the heart of this, isn't it, is the message that, you know, what makes sense, both commercially and sustainably, and all of those good things that leaders are trying to develop in their organization, what makes sense is to look after your people. And
totally. And
when you don't, you certainly know about it. And even more so, I think that's been even more highlighted since the pandemic. People's notions about this have shifted. So what was it that drew you to this work, if you like, on a personal level?
I mean, on a personal level was the fact that I was a mom and I wanted to set a good example for my son, really. And he's this bright, bright boy and also neurodivergent child. And he was kind of going through his early ages and moving through. And I really had to sit with that, like, what is the model that I would like to set up for him? And it really continues to this day. I really think oftentimes I draw parallels between leadership and parenting, actually, or between change and how we change at home, as well as how we change in the workplace, because the only thing that we have control over, really, in any given situation is ourselves and our attitude to life. So this is what I've kind of adopted as a mindset. So I started coaching in that journey too, and one of the things I've noticed, and I think it's a big pandemic that we are also in right now, is this lack of commitment sometimes that we have. We overcommitted, or we committed to way too many things, but actually we end up failing self promises and we're failing other promises by being overcommitted, and there's not real clarity about what is important to us, what our values are. Even when there is a glimpse of clarity, it's a hardship to align our actions to those values oftentimes. Yeah. So when I set up my coaching at the time as well, I was really particular in choosing to call myself on all my social profiling wholeheartedly. And of course, we might know about wholehearted leadership from Brené Brown and other thought leaders in the space, but it's really that daily commitment that we can do to the close people that we live with, to the people that we work with, the people around us, that we will show up. And that is the commitment that I made to myself, that I'll show up in the rough, with the roughness that I hold and with the imperfection that I hold. And that's really the invitation that I've been making as bringing people within the center, that we can let go of that perfectionism and expectations that we hold for ourselves. What we don't want to let go of are commitments to who do we want to be and how do we want to show up in the world.
I love that. Absolutely love it. So what's the vision? What do you foresee over the next few years? What are you hoping for?
What I see, you named it, Simon, what I see is that every time we talk about this, we open up a door. We give each other permission to name those things that are important to us, to share our personal stories with those around us of how we are longing for a different future, for a different way of living. And so what I see possible is as more of us step up and raise our hands and start talking about these type of conversations and activating ourselves as this new way of leading and working with more kindness and generosity and care, then more positive things will happen. So really for me, the path ahead is continuously giving voice to that, which is true for myself, and inviting others to join me in that. And then together, that community, then who knows what might be possible with that kind of mindset, with that mentality, and also with that collectiveness, collective wisdom that happens in that process.
Brilliant. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to seeing where this takes us all, and to continue working with you, Lily, because you're an inspiration. So thank you for sharing that story here today. Nobody gets off the Change Show, though, without telling us what's their favorite track to add to the Change Show playlist. It could be something that just sets you alight. It could be something that's helped you through some of the ups and downs of life. But what is it for you?
I will share a song. I don't know if it's a popular one. So how do you want me to share it? I can share it. It's called Shine. Uh-huh. And the artist is called Fia. So I'll send you the link.
Okay.
But it's a song about how we sometimes step away from and take the road less traveled, and we don't want to go through life and die without singing all of our songs. So it's one that carried me through that period of transition in 2019. So it's called I'm Ready to Shine, and I'll send it to you.
Lovely. I'm looking forward to that one. I haven't heard of that one. That's great. Lily, thank you very much. Do come back and talk to us again when you've, after this next phase, because I know you've got so many exciting things going on in the next few months. So it'd be lovely to catch up again, maybe this time next year, and hear how everything's going.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon, okay, for the invitation.
Take care. That was The Change Show with Simon Phillips. Do come back next time, and we will be talking to another person who's out there with making a positive impact on our world. Take care.